Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 26, text 20, 24, 25. So it's a prose verse. We can't recite this in unison. I'll just read the verse. Ketu ihas vasa garbada patyo brahmana layo vigunya vihara atirte cha migam migam nati tan api sapare sao Vakshya Bhutam Yama Purusha Ishubir Vijate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. If a man in this life, if in this life a man of higher classes, Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishyas, is very fond of taking his pet dogs, mules or asses, into the forest to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily, he's placed after death into the hell known as Pranaruddha. There, the assistants of Yamaraj make him their targets and pierce him with arrows. Purport. In Western countries, especially aristocrats keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forests. Whether in the West or East, aristocratic men in Kali Yuga adopt the fashion of going to the forest and unnecessarily killing animals. Many of the higher classes, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, should cultivate knowledge of Brahman, and they should also give the sutras a chance to come to that platform. But instead they indulge in hunting. They are punished as described in this verse. Not only are they pierced with arrows by the agents of Yamaraj, but they're also put into hell. They're also put into the ocean of pus, urine, stool, described in the previous verse. Previous verse says, the shameless husbands of low-born Sudra women live exactly like animals, and therefore they have no good behavior, cleanliness, or regulated lives. After death, such persons are thrown into the hell called Puyauda. There they are put into an ocean filled with pus, stool, urine, mucus, saliva, and other things. Sudras who cannot prove themselves fall into that ocean and are forced to eat these disgusting things. Text number 25. Translation. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vrishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Suchinam Srimatangehe Yoga Brasta Abhijati. Because of his previous connection with Bhakti Yoga, a man is born in a prestigious family of Brahmanas or aristocrats. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect Bhakti Yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various so-called yajñas like Kali Puja or Durga Puja. In such poor in which poor animals are sacrificed. However, such a person is punished, as described herein. How such a person is punished, as described herein. The word dhamba, yagneshu, in this verse is significant. One violates the Vedic injunctions of performing yajna, simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punished after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has purposely been offered and sacrificed before the goddess Kali. Shastra enjoined that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Those who do so will receive the punishment described herein. Shri Chaitanya Guru Islam Stapitamiya Bhutale, Vaya Rupa Gadamayam Dantasnava Bhattikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Dastaya Bhutale, Srimad Bhakti Vananta Swami Tiramane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Vishani, Narasa Shushuni Radhi Bhaskachari Satani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Dasari, Gaura Bhakti Vinaya. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So these two verses are talking about unnecessary killing animals and the result of such things. In the Western countries, it is common practice for aristocratic people who are financially well off, to keep animals like dogs, and for the sole purpose of going to the forest, hunting down innocent animals, killing them, and then they bring back that animal and they hang it on a wall or put it in a showcase to be proud of their endeavor. Unknowingly killing animal, unknowingly that they'll have to suffer reaction. So these sports, hunting and fishing, they're two common sports in Western countries, especially the old people who have nothing to do. They go to some river or some lake and they catch fish and kill them and eat them, unknowingly that there'll be some reaction. So if you do something unknowingly, then the reaction is not as severe. If you do something and you know it's wrong, then the reaction will be much worse. So this verse says a person in this life who is proud of his eminent position will heedlessly sacrifice his animals simply for material prestige. Now heedlessly, it would seem that this word would be needlessly, but heedlessly means with careful attention. They do it purposefully, and it's also needless. So both words apply in these circumstances. So they do this killing animals for material prestige, or simply to make money, for making money, economic development. In 1948, they wanted to pass a law in India where they would stop all cow killing, all animal slaughter. But the government refused to pass that law because they said it would ruin the economy of the government. But we know that the killing of animals, especially the killing of the cow, the killing of cows is the most abominable activity and nowhere sanctioned in the Veda. The cow is considered your mother, very dear to Krishna. In all circumstances, the cow should be protected, not sent to the slaughterhouse, to be killed, innocently killed. But unfortunately, the masses, the people, governments in the world don't know that. When there's four classes on the monarchical system, Kshatriya, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. So Kshatriyas are allowed to go to the forest and for hunting and killing animals. But other classes of men are not allowed to do this. Generally, Kshatriyas would go to the forest, kill animals, because for two reasons. Because they wanted to practice their martial arts, and they also, if there was a disturbance in the forest, the sages and other animals might. Animals like tigers and lions and bears, they would kill them. But there was one king, his name was Muchukunda, in the Krishna book, chapter 51. And he was very powerful, very strong king. So he was fighting the demigods for many, many years. And then the demigod said, you can have any benediction you want. So he asked for the benediction that he could sleep without being disturbed. If anyone disturbed him, he would burn them the ashes of his eyes. So when Jarasandha kept attacking Mathura, 17 times Jarasandha attacked Mathura, was defeated by Krishna. And each time his advisor would say that it was just bad luck. It was just ill luck. So Jarasandha was attacking for the 18th time. And another demon was attacking on the other side, Kalyavana. Was told the city of Mathura was in danger. So Krishna decided that he was not going to fight this time. So he walked off the battlefield, showing one of his opulence, renunciation. So he walked off the battlefield, and this Kalyavana, who was a demon, chased Krishna. But because he was a sinful demon, he couldn't catch him. Then Krishna entered a cave, and Kalyavana entered that cave and saw a man sleeping. And he thought it was Krishna was sleeping. So he gave the man a kick, a good kick. But it was Muchukunda, and when Muchukunda woke up, he opened his eyes and burned Kalyavana to death. Then Krishna told Muchukunda that since you're a pious king and you're performing bhakti yoga, that in this life, you were as a kshatriya, you went to the forest hunting animals, and even though if kshatriya allowed to do that, they're not free from the reaction for doing that. and Prabhupada called it sordid. Sordid activity, which means most profound or dirty. So he told King Muchukunda that if you if you practice bhakti yoga and chant Hare Krishna, that you will be free from your reaction of killing animals and go back to Godhead and you become a Vaishnava in your next life. So even the killing of animals like Kshatriyas is also not free from reaction. They still have to suffer a reaction. So there it says people killing animals from prestigious position, Kali Puja, Durga Puja, going on. Recently in Nepal, they decided that they would do some kind of puja, and they slaughtered many thousands of innocent animals to do a puja, whatever it was. And as a result, there was an earthquake, and many people lost their lives and some of the damage. So, people in the mode of passion and ignorance who have no knowledge of the Vedas, no knowledge of, can't discriminate between right and wrong, engage in killing animals simply to satisfy their tongue, satisfy their material desires, or to get some material benefits. You know, in this canto, Jandara was the most exalted Vaishnava, but he was acting like a dull, dumb man. So they needed, some dacoits were wanting to perform a sacrifice where they sacrificed a dull, dumb man. So the man they captured, he ran away. So they looked for another man, and they found Jandara, who was sitting in the field as a scarecrow or keep the wild animals away. The brothers engaged in this occupation. So Jandara was a self-realized soul. He took everything as Krishna's mercy. So he didn't protest. When they came, they arrested him, they bathed him, they prepared to cut off his head. They offered to Goddess Kali. But Goddess Kali, she knew that Jandara was a great Vaishnava, and therefore she couldn't tolerate this activity. And she came out of the deity and with the same sword that we're going to use to kill Jandara, she killed all the demons, all the Kali worshippers, and with her associates, they had a party, killing all the demons and drinking their blood and so forth. So, killing of animals, or killing of men, or any kind of killing, if it violates the Vedic injunction, then there must be punishment, there must be some reaction. So, but the people who were worshipping Goddess Kali and offering her the meat think that Goddess Kali is accepting this offering, but she doesn't accept this offering. Goddess Kali is a Vaishnavi, she doesn't eat meat. Then maybe some lesser beings may accept this offering. But Goddess Kali doesn't accept this offering. She's not pleased with this kind of sacrifice. It's like Lord Shiva, he also gives benedictions to demons. Like Vrikasura was cutting off his flesh and throwing in the fire to get the mercy of Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva came there and said, you don't have to do all these things. You just unsatisfy the little water and dova leaves. Jai Shri Shri Guru Nitai Krishna Maharaja Sham Ki Jai. So he asked this demon, Kali demon, Vrikasura, You can ask for any benediction you like. So he said that I want the benediction that if I put my hand on anyone's head, it will crack. But this is not a very good benediction. Lord Shiva knew this is not a good benediction, but he gave it to him anyhow. Lord Shiva, he's not pleased with these people who ask for material benedictions. He doesn't accept them as his disciples, but he gives them the benediction anyhow. He doesn't tell them if it's good or bad. And then this, chased Lord Shiva. He wanted to put his hand on his head, try out the benediction on Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva went to Vaikuntha, and Lord Vishnu disguised himself as a Shiva Bhakta and told this demon that you can't believe Lord Shiva. He's a liar. He is not actually giving you any kind of benediction. And you just see. You just put your hand on your head, and when nothing happens, you can kill that Lord Shiva. So the demon forgot that he had this benediction, and he put his hand on his head, and his head cracked, and he died. So in this way, people are offering sacrifices to Goddess Kali, Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, and so many demigods, thinking you can get some material benedictions. But Bhagavad Gita, Krishna condemns it several times. It says those who worship demigods are less intelligent, and their fruits are temporary and limited. And it says the karma, sarva karma, moksha karma, dharati. No material desire, all material desires, by all means, you should worship the Supreme Person or a Godhead. So there's no need for demigod worship, because Krishna can supply everything. Bhoktaram jagna tapasam sarvalokshayam aishwaram trinam sarvabhutanam yatmamam shanti vichiti. Krishna is the supplier, he's the benedictor, and he can supply everything. And the Ishupanishad says, Ishvasham idam sarvam akinchen. What's that? One should only accept that which is his quota. So, by the arrangement of nature, human beings' quota is to eat vegetarian food, not because our teeth are not meant for chewing meat, our stomachs are not meant for digesting meat. But if you want to eat meat, then you can get the body of a tiger or a lion. And that's their quota, is to eat meat. But for human beings, our quota has been given by material nature to eat fruits and vegetables and grains and milk products. And we can live very comfortably. And the proof in the devotees in this movement don't eat meat, fish, or eggs. We're living very comfortably. And no one's getting weak or dying from malnutrition. The karma, the materialist people think if you don't eat meat, you'll become weak and you'll have health problems. But it's just the other way around. People who eat meat create more health problems. And they have high cholesterol, cancer, heart problems, all these things. And one man who was all his life ate meat, stopped eating meat in his old age, and he became thin and healthy just by doing that activity. So this is not authorized, killing of animals for eating them and holding and maintaining slaughterhouses, very abominable, at least in the Prime Minister and all his banned animal slaughter and cow killing in Maharashtra, because he's a little pious person. I understand. But even from a very childhood, we were not aware of what was right and what was wrong. Our mother and father couldn't tell us. that eating meat and thinking intoxication was wrong. So most people engage in these sinful activities. But if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, if you read the Vedic literatures, then you can understand what is right and what is wrong. A human being has a higher intelligence of 8,400,000 species of life, but only in the human form does one have sufficient intelligence, tato brahmi vijnasa, and he has the intelligence to inquire about his identity, what I am in this material world, what is life meant for. So the animals are not responsible for their activities. Animals don't commit sinful activities. Even the monkeys in Vrindavan, they're so mischievous, they steal everyone's glasses and they go around making trouble. But they're not accountable for their activities because they don't know any better. And you can't train them and tell them it's not, they're doing something wrong. But the human being, they can put a sign somewhere, like on the grass, no one should walk on the grass. The human being can read that sign and understand what it means. But a dog can't understand that. If the dog goes on the grass, no one will bother the dog, but then the owner of the dog is responsible for that dog. So in this way, people should not misuse their human form of life. It's the king's responsibility. The leader, Praja, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was a king, everything was, the world was peaceful. The cows were very happy. The milk bags were always so full that it would muddy the pasturing grounds. And Lord Ramachandra was the king, and he was Sakshi, who was straight to Yuga. But he ruled the citizens so perfectly that it seemed like Sakshi Yuga. And therefore, people didn't suffer. And even if someone didn't want to die, he didn't have to die. So this, it says that this Bhagavad Gita, Evam Parampara Tamimam Rajadam Vidu, that was spoken to the saintly kings. Kings are supposed to be saintly and first, were supposed to seek to the welfare of the people. This was the duty of the king, to see that the people were following Vedic injunction, following the Vanashram system. In this way, people could live peacefully. But nowadays, there's no such thing. The leaders of government are only interested in their own, proud of their own position, and only interested in their own welfare and prestige. You know, when Lord Chaitanya met the Kazi, Lord Chaitanya, the Kazi sent his men, and by himself he broke that drum when kirtan was going on. And he said, forbid anyone to do kirtan in Navadvip. So Lord Chaitanya organized the first civil disobedience movement, and he marched on the Kazi's house with a huge, large number of devotees. There were so many devotees, if you dropped a mustard seed between them, it wouldn't fall to the ground. And they all had burning torches for light in two hands. One hand they were holding a torch, one hand they were holding a pot. Fuel, and then they manifested two more hands to play the kartals. In this way, they marched on the Kazi's house in an angry mood. But then Kazi, he hid himself in the upstairs. He didn't want to come up downstairs because people were angry. And he thought they would, you know, kill him. He finally came and met Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you're my uncle. And this is not, you're not, why are you even showing me proper respect when I came? He said, because you were in an angry mood. And so But the Qazi said, well, look, I requested to speak with Lord Chaitanya privately. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, these are all my associates, I can speak with you. But Lord Chaitanya, the first thing he asked them, you're a Qazi, the leader of the society, why are you killing your mother and your father, meaning the cow and the bull? Muslims, they do that. In Bangladesh is one festival they hold every year, and all the Muslims come out in front of their house and kill a cow right on the street. It's part of some festival. So they don't know that cow killing is wrong. The Catholic Church has all the biggest slaughterhouses in the world. And most people in Kaitava Dharma, these cheating religions, don't know that eating meat, killing animals, having illicit sex, taking cocktails, they don't know that these things are wrong. So Lord Chaitanya pointed out to the Qazi that the cow is like your mother because she gives milk, and the bull is like your father because he tills grains. Therefore, you should not kill these animals. But the Qazi said, in your Hindu religion, you also do animal sacrifices and kill animals. So what's wrong with killing animals? The Lord at the time said, no. And when we kill the animals, we take an old animal and to sacrifice perform properly, then that animal becomes rejuvenated and gets a new body, a young body. We're not actually killing the animal. Of course, these things were forbidden, are now forbidden in this age of Kali, because there are no qualified Brahmins to perform sacrifices such as these and pronounce, chant the mantras properly. So in all cases, animal killing is never condoned or acceptable. And here it's described with one person goes for hunting, he's facing one, he has to suffer by being the target. Yamaraj would make him their target and pierce him with arrows. And the other one is one who maintains slaughterhouses for killing innocent animals. He's put into unlimited pain. He's given unlimited pain. So this is the nature of the material world. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about the nature of the material world. So in his fifth canto, describing the different planetary systems, 14 planetary systems, 7 up, 7 down, and this last chapter is describing hellish planets. So people go to hellish planets, and then when their time is up, they get some kind of body. They usually get trained up. Like if they want to become a hog, if they're supposed to become a hog, they force them to eat stool until they start to like it. And then they get a hog body. Or if they want to have sex, unlimited sex, they can have a body of a monkey or a pigeon. Or some pigeons can have sex every hour, once every hour, so many times in the day. So human form of life is not the best form for this kind of sense gratification. So people, they go to hell, they get these bodies, eventually by the evolutionary process, they become a human being again. And they may not remember that they were in hell or they had to suffer, but this is also, doesn't get one out of the material world. Prabhupada says here, the men of higher classes should cultivate knowledge of Brahman, and they should also give the sutras a chance to come to that platform. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmana uhi pratishtha, and I am the source of Brahman. And we know that Brahman, Bhagavan, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, iti sabyate, that the vidu, sarvati, mihi Vishnu, that the real goal of human life, whether you're in heaven or hell, or on this earthly planet, is to cultivate Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. not remain here in this material world and have to suffer repeated birth and death. And so if you go to heaven or you go to hell, it doesn't release one from the bondage of the three modes of material nature. You still have to suffer in some way or another. So bhupa, bhupa, maliyate, living in his tummy and glory. Sometimes in heaven, sometimes in hell, sometimes an insect, sometimes he's a worm, sometimes this, that, this 8,400,000 species. One comes to you, but there's only 400,000 species of human beings. So that's a very small percentage. And of those 400,000, only a small percentage of that is civilized human being. And a civilized human being is a person who accepts the spiritual master, accepts the bona fide spiritual master, hears from a great soul, Ma Bhagavat, and learns the science of Krishna consciousness, how to become detached from this material world. This is the whole meaning of the human life, is not to remain here attached to so many things, especially attached to this body. And the process given in the sage is Harinam, 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 Kekalo, Kalu in the state of the sin, the state of Yatkir, and Yatha. That the only process for self-realization in this name, the Jainama Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the only way we can chant without committing offenses. It's the only way one can actually get out of the clutches of the material energy, three modes of material nature. So even while chanting the holy name, we should avoid the ten offenses. And the tenth offense is to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on the subject matter, the thinking, I am the mind. And it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. So all our devotional services, practices are dependent on the quality of how we chant our 16 rounds. If we chant our 16 rounds attentively and carefully each day without falling asleep and try to hear the holy name, then we'll develop a good service attitude. When King Pratapuruja went to meet Lord Chaitanya, he asked him, what service can I do? Prabhupada wrote in purport that this service attitude comes from chanting the holy name. So we should try to develop this chant properly, take it seriously. We make a vow to chant 16 rounds every day, but those 16 rounds should be chanted attentively without offenses. And this way we'll reap the results. Now, even if one chants 64 rounds, if he doesn't exhibit ecstatic symptoms, if he hasn't attained prema, then you know that he has not chanted properly. Because the holy name, Voloke Prema Dana, Harinam Sankirtan, holy name comes from the spiritual world, is not a material sound vibration. It's a transcendental sound vibration. But one chants with offenses, we will not understand that. But if we chant in Namabhas without offenses in the clearing stage, then gradually we will understand that the chanting is a pure sound vibration, is not different than Krishna himself. And therefore, if Krishna is dancing our tongue, we should be careful to always chant, try to chant our best as we can, so we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness and not have to take birth and go to any of these hellish planets, but go back home, back to God, and make this human life successful. Hare Krishna. So, I have some service now. Hey, if there's any quick question, I can answer one question. Anybody have any question? Yes.
Thank you very much, Class Guru. It's just mentioned that these people from higher classes and other mentions in the book were that due to bad association, they end up getting involved in these different activities, like hunting animals. Would you have any comment at all about that, about that man association?
Yeah, Narakashura. He was the son of Mother Earth, was his mother, and Brahma was his father. And he was born, he was supposed to be a devotee, but bad association, became a demon. And Krishna had to kill him. So whoever you associate with, that's what you become. If you associate with thieves, you become a thief. If you associate with drug addicts, you become a drug addict. If you associate with devotees, you become a devotee. So somehow people go astray. Even children born in this movement, trained in the Gurukul, have so much association with devotees, but still they get into bad association and forget about practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's a warning. One should avoid association with non-devotees. That's one of the fall downs. So if we associate with the non-devotees, either by, now you can do it by the internet, you can do it by movies, television, so much media coverage is there, but we can associate with the wrong kind of people and we can become contaminated. And again, fall into the modes of passion and ignorance and become blinded or forgetful of our Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Guru.
Hare Krishna. That's all. I have to go now. Time for service. Thank you all for coming. Hare Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.